Good morning, brothers and sisters. So I have been reticent to preach about the issue of mask wearing, one, because it's not a particular gospel topic, but two, because it's been so politicized in the news and in the media that it's really hard to get facts. You know, you can find arguments and studies done to prove that wearing masks help and wearing masks don't help and sometimes make it worse, right? So there's all these people quoting all these studies, and even if you read the studies, they're just differing reports. So for quite some time, it's been difficult to make a decision on one side or the other. And of course, I can't, well, not that I can't. It's not prudent for me to mandate anyone to wear masks. But I've been thinking and praying a lot about this, and parishioners and others have been talking to me about the topic because clearly it's a concern. Now, more recently, what the evidence seems to point out is that masks do, in fact, not prevent COVID spread, but lessen or slow down the spread and lessen the severity of symptoms once you get it. So it is proven so far to be a benefit. I even read an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning that talked about this. You know, the final proof is out there. Now, again, they've been saying that for weeks and months, so maybe some different final proof will come out in a few weeks. I don't know. The fact of the matter is, I realized the mistake that I had been making in regards to not wearing a mask as a priest, at the very least while distributing Holy Communion. And the mistake was, it doesn't really matter whether the mask works or not. If me wearing a mask encourages more people to come to Mass. If Father Miller wearing a mask to distribute communion puts you at ease because maybe you're concerned about the virus for a justified reason, then I should wear one. It's an act of charity, right? It's a small inconvenience that I can do. So from here on out, I'm going to begin to do that. While distributing Holy Communion, myself and the altar server who holds the paten will wear masks so that nobody needs to worry, at least while coming forward to receive the Blessed Sacrament. I would also encourage, strongly encourage, the rest of you who attend Mass to wear masks, not because they work, even if they do, that's not the reason, but just to encourage our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to feel safe when coming to church. And whether their reasoning for fear is right or wrong, that's irrelevant, because on our part, it's an act of charity to put them at ease. It's a small inconvenience we can endure for them, which is very much the love of Jesus Christ. That's how Christ teaches us how to love, to not just bear inconvenience, but even serious crosses for the good of others, not because they deserve it, not because they're sinless or holy, but because they need it. I think that's the right reason we should wear masks at church. So I don't think it matters whether they work or not. I don't think that should be factored into our reasoning. So I strongly encourage you, starting next Sunday, to begin to wear masks. It's still up to you. And I don't want any of you who don't wear masks to be judged by those who do, because it's still your choice. So please, those of you who find yourself so prideful that you did the right thing out of love and charity for others, that you condemn those who don't, your good effort has now become worthless in the sight of God because of your pride and judgment. So please don't do that. Why is all of this important at all? Because in the end, for us as Catholics, we know that we need Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. We need him. How many of you have experienced just in this short time when maybe you weren't going to Mass because everything was closed down, how hard it was? How much more difficult everything became in your life, and even your just normal schedule of prayer and life. We need the Lord. We need the Holy Mass. We need the Blessed Sacrament. Without it, we are spiritually dead. best of intentions aside. And so we who can come, who have less fear of the virus, have a greater obligation to help those who are more fearful so that they can come and feel safe and be with the Lord and offer the sacrifice and receive the body and blood of our Savior. It's all about Jesus in the most blessed sacrament. Now, this also factors into how we receive Holy Communion, because it's not just the wearing of masks that's an issue, right? People are afraid, and you've heard this throughout the news and the media among bishops in this country and others, where they're not recommending that you receive Holy Communion on the tongue, because that could spread the virus. Now, just like with wearing masks, there are studies on both sides. There are studies on both sides that prove on both sides that receiving communion on the tongue is more dangerous and receiving communion on the hand is more dangerous. And I think there's merit to both studies. But I'd like to talk to you once again about a worthy reception of Holy Communion, not just spiritually, meaning I'm in the state of grace, I've gone to confession if I needed it, but even how I approach. In the tradition of the church, for the longest time now, for nearly 2,000 years, Catholics have knelt and received Holy Communion on the tongue, because that is the most reverent way to do it. It's commonly known that you should always receive a gift in the spirit with which it is given. It's an old saying. You receive a gift in the spirit with which it is given. Now, the gift of the body and blood of the Lord is given in the most humble of spirits. God has not only become a man, he's become food for you. So helpless and so immovable that the priest is the one who has to carry him to you and feed you. Such humility. And so our posture, our body, our manner of reception, and of course our heart, must be humble as well. That's why kneeling is the most humble of postures. It's another reason why men get down on one knee to propose. It's a very humble thing to do. And also receiving on the tongue is very humble, because that's how babies eat. Babies can't feed themselves, whether baby animals or baby humans. They can't feed themselves, so mama or daddy bird has to feed them. That's why the tradition of kneeling and receiving on the tongue like an infant. Our Lord comes to you so humbly, so you receive him in like humility. It's beautiful, and it is the highest form, at least externally, to receive Jesus Eucharistic. That doesn't mean you can't receive in the hand. The church clearly gives you permission to receive Holy Communion in the hand, as long as you do it correctly. There is actually a right way to receive communion in the hand, and a lot of you don't do it rightly. Not many of you receive in the hand, but I'm just saying those who do. There's also a right way to receive on the tongue, and I'm going to address that as well. So before I go into those two issues, consider for a moment the transfer of germs in regards to the mouth and the hands. It's clear that the hands come in contact with more germs and bacteria at any given moment than the mouth. Hopefully you don't use your mouth to open doors, to pick up objects, at least not regularly. It's your hands that you use that are constantly coming in contact with the things around you. This is why we're recommended that we wash our hands regularly. So I want you to think, if you will, if you're going to come forward and receive communion in the hands, even if you do it the right way, that you have touched your clothes, maybe your children, people around you, certainly the pews, maybe the communion rail once you've come up to receive. You have no idea what's on your hands at this point. So even if I, my hands carefully purified, with a mask on, take the consecrated host, say the body of Christ, you say amen, and I place it gingerly in your hands, and I don't touch your hands. It is now tainted because of your hands. And when you pick it up and put it in your mouth, What have you just done? It's actually safer for me to transfer the body directly to your mouth. It's actually cleaner. Unless you're going to come up here and use hand sanitizer right away, then there's a higher chance of getting some type of infection or transferring some bacteria. It's important to think about that when you're coming forward to receive. But there's also an even more important reason not to receive communion in the hand. And this is one of the reasons that the church has strongly recommended against it. It's because if you receive communion in the hand, and particles of the body of Christ remain in your palm or on your fingertips, and you let them drop to the floor, that's profaning the body of the Lord. What I always recommend to people is if you are going to receive in the hand, you do it correctly. The church says you make a throne with your hands. Your left hand, left, goes over your right. Palms up, fingers out. You'll receive communion in your left palm, and then using your index finger and thumb, you'll pick up the host and carefully put it on your tongue. But then you must purify your fingers and the palm of your hand. How do you do that? You lick them. Now, if you haven't washed your hands recently, what's the point? You have to purify them. I mean, there may be little particles that you can't see. You go off and just fold your hands or stick them in your pockets. You could have just put the body of the Lord, a small fraction nonetheless, on the ground for somebody to walk upon or in your pockets to be washed in the laundry. Imagine the disrespect that is to the Holy Eucharist. Jesus has come to you in such a weak and vulnerable way, and you have not cared for him properly. Now, as most of you do, if those of you who choose to receive on the tongue, I'm going to give you just a few quick pointers to do it better. Most of you do a good job, and that's great. So if you come forward, if you can't kneel because you've got knee or back problems, that's fine, stand. That's not a problem. But if you're going to receive on the tongue, and there's no judgment if you're not, it's prudent judgment on your part why you don't, you have to do it properly. Now, if you're kneeling, you're going to be, unless you're really, really tall, lower than I am. So you need to tilt your head back at least a little bit so that I can see your mouth. If your head's forward, I can't see where I'm trying to place the consecrated host. So you chin up, forehead back just a little. And after I say the body of Christ and you respond, amen, which is I believe, then you open your mouth wide. None of these little mailbox slits. You know, I mean, some of you do this, and honestly, it drives me crazy. You know, it's like I'm putting a quarter into a gumball machine or something, you know. Please, open your mouth wide to receive the Lord. Little baby chicks who are hungry, they go after the food, but that's one of the mistakes that some of you make, is that when I say the body of Christ, you lunge at me. Well, not me per se, but you lunge at the host. Now, this isn't all of you, but there's a number, and I'm assuming it's out of love and devotion for Jesus, and you just want to receive him like that little baby chick. That's fine. That's beautiful. You need to stop doing that, okay? When I first came to St. Dorothy's, I got my hands licked a lot during that first year. Now, I'm sorry to tell you that now, but I'm really good at recognizing who does that, and now I'm prepared. So when they come up to receive, I'm like body of Christ, and I step back, you know. So they haven't gotten me in years. I'm really good about it. But again, you need to stop doing that. And if you're not sure if you're that person, just when you come up to receive, keep still. Just keep still. I will bring Jesus to you. Just keep still. Head up, mouth open, tongue out, and wait. Wait for me, please. And the tongue out is important. Again, it's the one time you're allowed to stick your tongue out at the priest without committing sin. So please, you know, tongue out. I will place the consecrated host on your tongue. And since there's saliva, the body will stick to your tongue, and then you can just take it in and close your mouth, and that's it. It's very simple. It's the way we've always done it. And I'm really good at this. As long as you do your part right, never touch your tongue or your mouth or anything. It's very carefully done. There's no transfer of germs. And for all of the years now that there have been studies done on the transfer of germs through the reception of Holy Communion, presuming it's done correctly, there has never been any conclusive proof, ever, even in distributing the precious blood from the cup. Even then, there's been no conclusive proof of the passing of germs, ever. So we can have a certain peace of mind that we don't need to fear these things as long as we do them properly. But in the end, regardless of the viral concerns or our physical well-being, the decision to wear a mask, the decision on how to receive the Holy Eucharist, these are spiritual decisions. They have to do with charity and love. First and foremost for God, because we love him first, but also for our neighbor. Remember what Jesus said, if you do not love the neighbor that you can see, then you cannot love the God who you do not see. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.